Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? You get what you
need. Oh. All right. Well, I am Carol Jorgensen Sheets, and I am Carol the Coach. And this is Sex Help with Carol the Coach, the only sexual addiction show on iTunes. So I am so honored to be with you tonight. I mean, I've been off for 2 weeks. Obviously, we had Memorial Day, and I replayed a show that I thought was very interesting from a previous radio gig I did for Blog Talk called Live Your Best Life. And then last week, we had terrible storms in Florida. There were lots and lots of technical difficulties, and I could not even get on the air. So I apologize. If there's one thing you can count on with Carol the Coach is that I'm there for you, and I won't forget you. As a matter of fact, when I wrote a column for the Indianapolis Star for 5 years, I never missed a beat. I absolutely put together a column every single week, no matter where I was, and I prided myself on that. One, I wanted to do it. To me, a vacation means a lot of things, but to get to write is a vacation in itself. Well, it's the same thing with radio. So, again, I so apologize that you probably had a lot of dead air, and I'm here tonight. I'm here for you. We've got a really interesting guest. I know that a lot of my sex addicts have partners that are wounded. They are literally dealing with so much pain they can barely function. And I was soliciting some of my colleagues to do this show, and I got a call from the Center for Healthy Sex. And they're out in California, a wonderful organization. And they had several people that they thought I might want to talk to. And one of those people, who's absolutely wonderful, is a woman who does not work with partners in and of itself. Her name is Greta Hassel, but she works with women on reclaiming their sexuality. And, you know, when I was talking with her about the show, obviously we talked about the fact that women in general have a lot of sexual shame. You know, we're supposed to be good girls, but at the same time, we're supposed to let that inner vixen come out. Okay, so that can be a conflict for a lot of women. It really can. And then, in addition to that conflict, if that woman has had sexual trauma, or if that woman is hooked up with a sex addict, it further complicates her ability to know herself sexually and to feel comfortable with her own sexuality. So Greta's going to be talking tonight about her own personal journey and why she felt like it was important to help women get clear about their feelings about sex. And, you know, Greta grew up in the Bible Belt. I'm here out of Indianapolis. For you people that are in the United States, you know that Indy, you know, is somewhat of the Bible Belt. And then if you're out of the United States, if you're in another country, it may be that you've had to face some of the sexual mores that occur because of religion. And so oftentimes, sex leaves early imprints with the residue of sexual shame and disconnection from one's body. And so she made it her mission to study both, you know, her own origin as well as other cultures, and to find out where some of the sacred sexuality came from, as well as the sexuality sin that is oftentimes connected to sexuality. She has actually made it her mission to work with women to reclaim their sexual birthright and power. And, you know, she's saying, hey, it's time to reclaim your sexual passion no matter what has happened in your life. It is your divine birthright. And she's teaching a 9-week course called Love, God, and Sex, where she uses movement and powerful practices to open the mind and heal the hearts. So she teaches women how to reclaim their erotic truth and activate their own sexuality. So we're going to be excited to talk with her. So if you are an addict, you might put your partner on the computer so she can hear the show, or let her listen to your iPad after you've downloaded the show, because truly there's so much sexual confusion because of the chaos that occurs with sexual addiction. You know, I was talking to a man tonight, and he said, my wife hates conflict. She absolutely hates conflict. And he's been doing a really good job. He's got about 11 months of sobriety and recovery. And out of the blue, his wife, who has consistently trusted him despite the fact that he's been in 2 treatment centers and has had 2 major relapses with sex addiction, he's really been doing a great job. And so, you know, he's got almost 6 months sobriety, and she just stops him and she says, Bob, have you been on Craigslist? And he called it, what did he call it? Excuse my language, a bitch slap. He said, I couldn't believe that she just came up with this. I gave her no reason to feel that way. He goes, I've been doing a great job with my recovery. And I handled it real well. I didn't get defensive. I didn't put her down. But he goes, internally, I felt very, very betrayed. And I said to him, you know, Bob, I get that. Your feelings are, they're valid. You have every right to have them. But let me just share that the partners that I've been working with, they kind of ascribe to that Brené Brown vulnerability. And Brené Brown is a researcher who has done research on shame and vulnerability. And what she's found is that true vulnerability does not come out of pain, but it comes out of pain followed by happiness. And what I mean by that is that when things are going well and when life seems too good to be true, it really keeps people vulnerable. And that's when, you know, they have to protect themselves. Her question about Craigslist was very appropriate. She was protecting herself, and she was walking into that relationship with her eyes wide open. And I said, you know, let's applaud for her that she was willing to bring up the potential conflict, because you said she is scared of conflict. And he agreed. He said, you know, I didn't look at it exactly from that point of view. I knew she was just checking in with me, but I didn't think about the fact that she is so traumatized and so scared by my actions that while things are going good, it's almost too good to believe. It's almost too good to be true. And so that moment of vulnerability was, gosh, things are going really, really well, and I just better double check and make sure they're really going really, really well. Hope that makes sense to you all. I know it certainly does to me, because I work with these folks, and there is so much trauma. So it's always important, as an addict, to think about what is your partner struggling with. And if you're single and if you don't have a partner, it's important to say, now, am I affecting anybody in my life? Because truly, this addiction affects anybody that you love, be it your parents, be it your kids, be it your siblings, be it your partner. It affects everybody. So it's always important to think about, how are my actions affecting other people when they're positive, when they're negative? And in this case, when they're positive, how might there be some trauma, because it's just for the first time an opportunity to relax for everybody. And that's, you know, what we do. You know, part of developing intimacy, because we all know that sexual addiction is an intimacy disorder. So part of what you got to do is really work diligently on developing empathy. And sometimes people don't know the difference between empathy and sympathy. Sympathy is when you feel sorry for somebody, but empathy is when you put yourself in their shoes to the best of your ability. You know, after working with thousands of people who have experienced sexual addiction, I, Carol Sheets, feel like I know pretty well what's going on. But what I know for a fact is that because I have never experienced the trauma of sexual addiction and the trauma of loving somebody with sexual addiction, I can't possibly know the pain, the chaos, the confusion, the depression, and what I consider to be the post-traumatic stress. So even though I know and I can predict, I don't really know. Because let's face it, that happens on a gut level. Speaking of guts, you know, it's really interesting that so oftentimes when you're making a decision, you have to look at it from three different perspectives. The first perspective is you have to look at it from your head. What do you think about a situation? You know, making decisions and assessing situations require that you look at what you think. The second way you help to form decisions is you access your feelings. How do you feel about things? And the third is to intuitively ask yourself, what do I know to be true? What does my intuition say? Oftentimes that's spiritual. That comes from that spiritual experience. And as a result, I want you, the next time you have a tough decision, to ask yourself, what do I think, how do I feel, and what do I know? You're listening to Carol Jurgensen Sheets. I am Carol the Coach, and I have Greta coming on the show to talk about women and sexuality. You know, this is a topic that isn't often discussed, so I am thrilled to have her on the show. Greta Hassel, welcome to Sex Help with Carol the Coach.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, this is obviously a topic that can be very, very difficult for women to talk about. They don't know who to talk about it with, and it's not something that they can feel comfortable talking to their partners about, because there's so much role confusion about how to handle things and what to feel. So I want you to be thinking about some questions that I'm going to ask you about sexuality and about women, so that you know that, you know, clearly you have made it your mission to help women kind of ignite their passion and to get to know themselves better. I'm thrilled to be talking to you. So tell me a little bit about your program, Love, God, and Sex. What inspired this work and this quote?
Well, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? I keep losing Miss Greta, but we'll pull her back on the show and help her figure out what she needs to do to stay on the air. I have a feeling that her phone is just not accessing things. So, Greta, feel free to call me back, because I want to know more about this. I know that this can be very, very difficult for women to deal with, because I've worked with a lot of women who have difficulty with this issue, and clearly it can be mind-boggling. You know, we're just not taught how to handle sex, what to do with that. So I definitely want you to call back, and we can talk more about it. And in the meantime, I want to talk with people a little bit about how do you develop that empathy so you'll understand your partners. It can get just absolutely it's so difficult to know what to expect. Greta, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Carol. My apologies. I hope you can hear me.
And, I sure can.
Okay, just let me know if you have a problem. And I know you were asking me how I got into this work with Love, God, and Sex, and I have to say it was through burrowing through my own shame around my own history, around my own sexuality, and having the courage to come full circle to reach out to the women that I know can oftentimes be sitting in the silence of their own shame, needing answers, wanting clarity, and sometimes it can be so hard to be the first to speak up. So I'm here to say I've blazed the trail and am so excited about sharing with women how to recover from messages that any of us have received from religion, from society, from parents that basically say, good girls don't. Sex is shameful. You're married.
And you actually have created a group, a 9-week group, to help women work through this process. Now, what made you decide it might be better to work with women in a group, and why the 9 weeks? And tell us a little bit about what this group has to offer.
Sure. So the 9 weeks is for women because I think that there's something so powerful about women being in a circle. We've done this from ancient times. And so the power of being with women creates a level of safety that I believe is one of the variables that allows for us to go deep. And in that safety, shame will live in silence, and it becomes a place that's safe enough to share our stories. And in this 9-week group, Carol, I've got sort of three sections. And the first one is about addressing what holds us back. It's about what I call re-entering the garden, because a lot of the women that I work with come from Christian, Catholic, conservative backgrounds where their sexuality got dampened down. And so here we come to a place to return to our innocence, return to those places where we were whole, and to really make peace with and love our own sexual story. So in the 9 weeks, that's the first section. The first cycle is in cycles. And the second cycle is about dancing with your beloved. It's so important to have the communication skills to know how to ask for what you want, how to make sure that conflicts don't derail intimacy from a couple's union, how to take risks and how to say no. And so we're looking for empowered, effective communication for intimacy here. I do a lot of role-playing and really making sure that the couple is set up. So we don't leave out the men, but there really is a time for going deep with the women here. And then in the third section of Love, God, and Sex, we're looking at activating your fire and your fragrance. And this is about claiming our fire. We are the keepers of our own flame. And so we look at the body. We look at the sensory pathways for pleasure. And we do a whole mapping of taking that energy through the body, through a lot of sensory exercises that are safe and clothing on so that women feel really comfortable, and moving all the way through our power, through our heart, through our voice, our vision, and really ultimately, just like the petals of a flower open, we move through those thorns on the stalk of a flower, opening to reveal our radiant, our magnetic self, connecting with our feminine essence. So
let me ask you something, because obviously many of the women that you've worked with have had to go through sexual abuse, sexual trauma. I mean, we all know that reported cases is one out of every three women. Do you believe that that kind of sexual trauma affects their ability to connect, to blossom, and to know their own selves?
Oh, it absolutely is. It's one of the greatest barriers to connection.
Uh-huh.
And what I've seen in the groups is that in being with a circle, it allows the work to go in an accelerated fashion, because women hear that they're not alone, and they hear other stories of other experiences, and they identify, and it's that identification with one another that we're really so much alike, even
right.
though we may have different places where we've been bruised and hurt. And it's in seeing each other in the faces and in the eyes of one another that creates courage to be able to speak out, to access the voice. We have to be able to say no before you can say yes. And so we have all kinds of practices and little exercises that we do in the class that are designed from anyone who's actually had physical, sexual, emotional abuse to women who have just had messages from institutions to be able to help free up that intrinsic life force energy that is wanting to flow through and sometimes needs the support to open back up again when it gets dampened down.
Okay, so then do you have specific exercises in your group for that kind of trauma?
In the third section, in the fire and fragrance, we
uh-huh.
do exercises. We do a lot of breathing work, breath work that moves the energy. I like to say that, spirit in the Old and New Testament is actually translated as breath. Additionally, they had many different translations for the same word. So it's the breath that can actually open up pathways, and we bring the breath down into the womb, down into the pelvis. A lot of times we as women, we live from the heart up. We love to connect. And so a lot of times it's about getting the energy down into the pelvis, into the womb, and connecting that pathway to the heart and up to the brain. And that's where the pathways for pleasure can get reactivated again. So we'll do some different specific types of yoga. We'll do specific types of sounding, specific types of breath and movement, a lot of dance that helps clear trauma, open up places of shame and contraction and constriction, and free that energy to open again through many of these exercises.
Well, some of them, a lot of the population that I work with, whether they be sexually abused women, even men have been sexually abused. Then when they get re-traumatized with sex addicts, they oftentimes deal with a lot of talk therapy. And what it sounds like you do at the Center for Healthy Sex is that you help them physicalize their healing.
Right. It's so true. Talk is important, and it can only go so far because these things are in the body. And to reach the body, we have to move the body. And the body has its own pharmacology of being able to shift out of those places of contraction, move the energy through the body. I've actually drawn on different yogic traditions from India and from Asia. So I've studied quite widely in terms of modalities, and some of them are ancient energetic practices that would help keep a woman toned, keep a woman protected in her own system so that from the inside out, she's able to have places of empowerment. So those are really fun. Those are really dynamic. I say for some of these exercises, you don't do them an hour before you go to sleep because they're so powerful. They move so much energy in the body. And you can see, I see some of the women, their eyes become shinier. They start adding dance into their life, and the shifts are visceral and visible. It's very exciting.
Well, absolutely, and I can tell that you get very, very excited at being able to help them with this work. Now, tell me, how do you get referrals for your group?
Well, a lot of times it's through therapists that might have women that are specifically dealing with this kind of spiritual, sexual kind of wounding. One of the things that I do is offer a complimentary ISIS wheel experience. And that's in Los Angeles. That's one way for people to find out about it. They can come to my 2-hour complimentary workshop. The next one is, I believe it's July 12th, Saturday morning. And that's a nice way to, this is a medicine wheel where women come and they walk a physical medicine wheel that has mental, emotional, physical, spiritual quadrants and a center that's whole. And we explore through symbols that people bring from home what it is that they want to release and let go of and what it is they want to embellish. Additionally, this Saturday morning at the Center for Healthy Sex at 8:30 a.m., I'm doing a 1-hour breathwork series, which introduces women to some of the ways that breath can heal these pathways around our sexuality and our spirituality. So you can visit our website, the Center for Healthy Sex, and see the Sex and Spirit series, and I happen to be speaking this Saturday morning. That's another way.
And how much is that? I heard the 2-hour thing is complimentary, but how much is the breath work?
The breath work is a $10 donation, so we don't want anybody to be turned away if they can't afford it, but it's really these are offerings for the community in Los Angeles. So that is a $10 donation, and yet no one is turned away.
That is absolutely phenomenal that they can learn techniques at $10 for the technique. You must feel very good about that.
We do. We do. It's a very beautiful series, and I'm loving being a part of it. So there's many different ways for people to step in. I do Skype coaching for women where you can actually see some of these exercises if somebody's not local. They can watch on the computer screen and do it along with me. So there's ways to Skype. Some of the group work I do, 3 month coaching packages for women for love, God, and sex, where I work with an individual woman who's not in the Los Angeles area, and we've done amazing work in that modality as well. I also see people privately, either at the center or in my private practice. So there's different ways, whether a person is local or not, to step in and get a taste of the work and see if it's right for them and to go deeper and get the results.
Well, you have figured out a lot of ways to reach out to women and to make it either affordable or accessible. And it's so interesting because, you know, one of the things we say about sexual addiction is that the reason it is such a ravaging addiction is because it's anonymous, it's affordable, and it's accessible. And here you figured out a way to make the treatment affordable, accessible, and actually even anonymous. I mean, they don't have to tell anybody that they are doing the breath work or going through and learning a lot of the techniques that you promote.
It's really true. It can be as private as a woman needs. And a lot of times, just starting privately can help give the courage to step into a group and have that benefit. But there really are these multiple modalities because I really want to reach the women that are suffering in silence. They're not having the sexual experiences. A lot of times, Carol, people can heal from, sexual abuse or sexual addiction, but may not have the tools how to take them to sexual ecstasy. And that's another piece that we cover in the group, is that it's important to know how to open up and have places. A lot of orgasms are like 2.5 seconds, and the training that I've done multiplies that 400 times so that those rings of pleasure can be 10 seconds and even minutes and lots longer to be in those streams of ecstasy that I say, people say, you look younger. It's noticeable physiologically. And so this takes people both through the healing as well as how to take it forward to have those experiences that are truly our birthright, our sexual divine birthright.
And you seem very knowledgeable, and obviously you've made it your mission to not only understand this kind of healing that needs to take place, but to encourage it. Now, let me just ask you. You said some women experience an orgasm for 2.5 seconds. And I want to ask you a couple of things that I've heard, and you tell me, is that a truism or a falsism? For instance, one of the things I heard is that in a healthy sexual experience with another person, the average orgasm takes 20 minutes to accomplish, let's say with a man. A man and a woman are having sex, and vaginal sex requires 20 minutes of thrusting and digital manipulation to have an orgasm, whereas a man can have an orgasm in 3 to 7 minutes. What stats have you heard on that?
Oh, yeah, a man can have an orgasm in less than that. I say women are men are microwaves and women are gourmet meals. So it's very, very different. And a lot of that is because of the pelvic nerve in the women's body and how we're built. We're built differently from men, and every woman is built differently from every other woman. And it takes time to warm up the woman in order to be able to achieve that level of orgasm and pleasure. A lot of times women may have clitoral orgasms, and that's a little bit easier. But in order to have a vaginal orgasm, that takes a certain kind of stimulation. It takes stimulation to really warm up the G-spot area in there where a woman's deeper pleasure is, that whole controversy about different types of orgasms. Well, there's more clarity figuring that out. And so, you know, I also do other work that helps to, you know, train men to know how to give that kind of pleasure to women so that they can have what's possible. It really requires a certain level of training, even though, yeah, we fit together and it works, to have the quality of not just a good time, but have the quality of sexual ecstasy is really something that can be cultivated through this kind of training.
So, again, for our listeners, if we have addicts that are on the line that have partners, I think they're learning something right now about women. And you know, they're learning how women can oftentimes be vulnerable because of the expectations, but they're also learning a little bit about women's physiology. If we got partners listening to this show, obviously they're learning that there's hope for a liberated and expressive type of sexuality when, let's face it, I said before you came on the show, there's a lot of shame and guilt that associates with sexuality, and that you combine that with any kind of trauma, and you typically have a woman that either can have sexual orgasms but always feels guilty, or the woman that just can't allow herself to be free. It is just too painful. And I realize that, you know, that the majority of people that you probably work with have had some sort of negativity associated with their sexuality.
That truly is the people that I am specializing with, yes.
And yes. It sounds like you've seen a lot of breakthroughs with your work with women. And obviously one is to be able to increase their own sense of pleasure and emotional acceptance of this pleasure. What other breakthroughs do you see?
Well, that's my favorite topic, Carol, because it's so exciting to see women that come alive and when they have the information and when they have the tools. And so find women really finding their voice and being able to ask for what they want. Even you talked about pleasure, and just for some women, it's about believing that they're entitled to their own pleasure because they've been focused on pleasing their partner. So being able to drop in and receive their own pleasure allows the whole quality of experience to come through. A woman finding her voice, actually the voice and the vagina are really connected, and the more a woman can give sound to her pleasure is one of the ways to amplify what she's capable of. So that's, women clear these blockages of shame and guilt and fear and grief. They clear the emotions where there's been ambivalence or conflict. There's been a lot of women that are able to connect their pelvis to their heart. A lot of times what happens in sexual abuse and trauma, and certainly in addiction, the heart gets disconnected. And so part of those physiological exercises that I was speaking with specifically connect the channel between the pelvis and the heart where trauma has disrupted or closed down that channel. So we work a lot with that central channel to open that up. So, you know, just even looking at I don't know how much your audience is actually coming from a Catholic Christian background, But I often say, you know, those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, they are connected to the lower three chakras. Poverty is at that root, which is so intrinsic and essential. That's where a lot of, you know, gabillion, so many nerve endings are down in our root, chakra. The second area in the pelvis, the place of poverty where that poverty is the first chakra, chastity, the second chakra, where the place of our sexuality and creativity is. Obedience correlates exactly with where our place of personal power is in our body. So looking at incorporating the lower part of the body and sourcing from this part that often gets cut off. I've had some women who start to dance, were in marriages that were really flat. They were really lacking in luster, and the woman started to dance. She loved it so much she started to dance for an hour a day, and she came in and she was dressing differently, and she had more makeup on, and her sensuality was coming alive, and her world was shifting as a result. It's really fun to watch these changes.
Oh, I can imagine. That would be incredible. And clearly, you know, that is when you know that you're doing good work and you can not only see it, but you can actually feel it. Now, you know, you had started to talk about week three of your group, and I know that you actually break down the course into three cycles. So one more time, will you reiterate what those three cycles are within that 9-week period, and then could you describe them?
Sure. And part of what I want to say is the 9 weeks is really an introduction for women. I mean, we get deep into these three, but the group is designed to be open-ended and go on for a year because what happens is you can hardly capture all of what I'm saying in 3 weeks. So you get one layer, the first layering of that. And then we come around and go deeper the second time we go through the 9 weeks. So it's exponential for these. But if I were to go through the three, starting with the beginning, that's just starting with
yes.
The fire and the fragrance, that third one.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, I'll just start with the fire and fragrance since we were talking about that. And
okay. This
is where, excuse me?
Yes, no, start at the beginning.
Okay. At the very beginning, we always go back to who we are and looking at that sense of what our intentions are. We set really clear intentions about where a person wants to be. We use a lot of movement about people enacting that with their body, what that looks like. So we're not just using words to talk about where we want to go. We use the body to show that because that creates new pathways as well. So in many different places in the course, we are really playfully using the body to be a voice. So in the first section, in re-entering the garden, we look at that sense of our own identity. Some women come in with beliefs of sin or having been induced with that story about Adam and Eve, and Eve being the one that brought sin. If women have issues around that, we go deep into that and talk about how other alternative ways of understanding Eve as the awakener of the sleeping Adam, and that she brings consciousness. And we talk about ultimately, I'll kind of weave back and forth, but it's like what happens in those high states of pleasure is consciousness comes in so that when we have deeper breath, we're bringing greater spirit, greater aliveness. The word even enthusiasm comes from theos. Theos is God. It's more God-filled. Inspired is to be spirit filled in. So in this first section about looking at the beliefs that we have about ourselves, that from whatever they come from, to understand, have compassion, and to be able to rewrite a different relationship with our own sexual story. Someone will have more guilt, some will have more shame, some will have a need for forgiveness. So we start to work with our sexual story, we start to have a different relationship with that. We have different experiences that we learn from that we can make self-correct from those experiences. So that whole first week is about coming back into the sense of innocence, melting that which separates us, our shame, and coming into a more vital relationship and starting to get enthused about what's possible. The second section, I call it Dancing with Your Beloved. I have all kinds of tools about where you want to go in your relationship. I love to use the tool of like 1 to 10. 1 to 10 is 1 being really low, 10 being yes, can be used anywhere from where do you want to go for dinner? Do you want Italian or Mexican on a scale of 1 to 10? It really cuts that decision-making down, as well as in the bedroom. What kind of intention do you have? What do you want to create? Sometimes the sexual connection can be creating healing for something. Maybe that's up for somebody. Maybe somebody is an 8 or a 9 of needing a certain kind of healing. Maybe you want to just be playful and wild. And so you get to find through the language of 1 to 10, getting in resonance of where those energies are. Maybe this time we're going to be really playful and wild, and you know, next time we'll be able to defer. Last time I deferred, this time you do. So it creates greater clarity to not get tangled up in those decisions and tangled up in those preferences and get on with what's at hand. So we introduce some of these specific tools that can really assist with communicating with couples. I'm a real fan of nonviolent communication. I find that really, really powerful for how to diffuse situations where there might be unresolved anger or hurt, helping to look at how each feeling is connected to an unmet need. What might be the need underneath disappointment? If the feeling, let's don't just talk about being disappointed. Let's get to the root of what's needed. You have a need for connection. You have a need to be heard. Let's get with that, because then there can be the fulfillment of that need, and then we can move on to having experiences together. So I do a lot of work around these kinds of tools in the second section. And then, again, back to fire and fragrance. One of my really favorite ones is the Ahuata, and that was brought back from India from a colleague of mine, Renee Desai, and in that we look at bringing in energy and building up like a big inferno of energy moving through the body. It sounds like a train. It's very, very loud. And putting in the intention up in the third eye, up in the brow, what it is specifically you want to create, and then building up a froth of energy and a burst of a ha! And in that, there is this ability to really focus on what it is that we're bringing forward, what we're bringing forth. We go through this kind of exercise. We work on the mat. We work sitting up. We work through breath. And we're looking to activate that sweet spot, working with the PC muscles, toning those muscles, connected with self-pleasuring exercises that people take home in homework and talk about what it was like, because knowing your body is so important to being able to asking for what you want, getting back to section 2, cycle 2, getting back to having more pleasure. And like I said, Carol, we layer and go through these same themes, but from different perspectives, different angles. We'll talk about the monthly cycle, talk about what's possible there, how knowledge there can help reduce the PMS symptoms. There's so much.
So there's a way to actually, from a personal standpoint, there's a way to measure how this kind of work is affecting you, if nothing else, by checking your menstrual cycles, being able to measure that, measuring your ability to have orgasm, and just that self-talk that occurs that's either negative or positive. And truly, with the population that I'm working with, there's a lot of negative self-talk, and we're always working on not just the cognitive behavioral management, but we're talking to people about being kinder and gentler with themselves. So this is exciting stuff. Now, before we end, I really want to know if you believe sex is a spiritual act, because obviously you went to seminary, and you wanted to become a Presbyterian pastor, and you flipped from that over to sacred sexuality. So tell me, do you think sex is a spiritual act?
I definitely believe that sex is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. I see that it is truly how we feel alive. It is not something that is only for couples, as I said. You know, there's a lot of controversy around pleasuring. I don't even like to use the word masturbation. I think it's such a clunky word, and the translation is really something really horrible. And that's another whole part of working with our sexuality that is for people who are single as well. You know, it's interesting. There's so many things. Like, you know that little triangle at the base of our spine, the sacrum?
Uh-huh.
Well, the sacrum, that word is connected with spirit as well. So the very word sacrum comes from sacred. And so the fact that we have something sacred at the base of our spine, and that someone, when they were naming bones, they believed that there was a connection. And what I found is that looking deep into the origins way, way back before Christianity, before 2,000 years ago, we see in the ancient traditions, ancient religions, that there was a deeper connection with the feminine. The feminine was something that was really honored and revered, like Mother Earth. There was a sacred relationship with our earth and with the feminine, with the mother. All of these are interesting places to explore to see that it's really humans that messed up sex. God didn't mess up sex.
Oh, that totally makes sense. And you know, we all know, anybody who's worked with sexuality on any level, that oftentimes a therapist needs to work with clients to break down the resistance of years of conditioning that sex is bad. So how do you do that?
Well, we have these conversations about really looking at the whole history of sexuality. It's older than Adam and Eve. I mean,
uh-huh.
I cut my teeth on Adam and Eve, and that was my Genesis creation story, and so it went deep into my psyche, and that's why I have deep compassion for people who come from that, because I know, and I didn't quite slip from a pastor to sacred sexuality, Carol. It was a very long journey of traveling outside of this culture and going to Peru, where they still lived in the Garden of Eden, and seeing people living in other cultures that didn't have any experience with sin, and they were deeply connected with the energy in their body. And I think for the audience that you work a lot with, one of the most important pieces is the connection between the heart and the pelvis. And I think for women as well as men, that's one that got derailed. And by using the breath to connect that channel up and then connect it to the brain is one of the fastest ways to change that conditioning. However, I do a lot of education around languaging, like I say, spirit translating as breath, around other traditions that are worldwide, that and just really education about the body, how we're made, what happens when we breathe deeper. So I do a lot of talking on these different levels to help melt and dissolve that conditioning and feel more in the body. And as a person feels more in their body, they feel the naturalness. They feel that it's organic. They feel that sense of, I'm home inside my own body. We're designed to not feel at odds. And there's nothing like that. There's nothing better than that.
Well, you know, I so appreciate you sharing some information, encouraging men and women alike, but certainly women to get to know their sexual self and how to do that. So one more time, I want you to give out your contact information, how they can get a hold of you, and then the Center for Healthy Sexuality, Sex. I want you to let people know how they can contact the center.
Great. Thank you. People can go to the Center for Healthy Sex.com website. On that, we have our Sex and Spirit series, which is every Saturday morning right now, 8:30 a.m. if you're in the Los Angeles area. That's the $10 donation. I'm speaking this Saturday morning. I'd love to see some of you there on breathwork in the context of love, God, and sex. I've also got a website, lovegodandsex.com. You can read about the upcoming ISIS Wheel of Sexual Experience for Women. To find out the dates of that, the next one of that is July 12th. My contact number to reach me directly is 310-818-1473. If you want to, if you're interested in the Love, God, and Sex group for women, or interested in some private sessions or Skyping if you're not in the Los Angeles area. GretaHassel.com is the final way that you can reach me, which is GretaHassel, as in Spain, E-L, GretaHassel.com. Any of those will connect you to the resources, and I would love to welcome anyone who's silently suffering in these areas to please reach out.
Well, Greta, thank you so much for making this your mission, for being so excited about it, for having so many different ways to assist women, and for being so available to help anybody who reaches out to you or reaches out to the Center for Healthy Sex. Again, I so appreciate it, and I hope you can talk soon.
Thank you so much, Carol. Appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Very much, and we will. We'll talk with you soon, and we'll keep up on your website, and can't wait to see what you're doing, and contact me again.
Thank you, Carol. All the best.
All right. Talk to you later. All right, so that was Greta Hassel, and she can be reached through the Center for Healthy Sex or, of course, her own personal website. She's doing amazing work, and if you're having trouble with sexuality, if your partner's having trouble with sexuality, you know, I would highly encourage that you reach out to her and get some assistance. And so I am, again, as I said before, so honored to be with you and to be talking about different experiences that all have to do with sex in some way and somehow. So I will see you back next. And as I say, at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Feel free to send me questions to carolthecoach@AOL.com or go to one of two websites, either carolthecoach.com or Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And I'll catch you back here next week. Have a great day.